Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to answer a question that someone who attended the Seller Summit had, and it was quite the dilemma. It was whether to not take a very lucrative job and well-respected job in order to pursue an online business that was already making a lot of money.
Which I think leads into a conversation about college itself, because this person that we met at Seller Summit was just getting ready to graduate law school. And so you think about this, you've been in college for 4 years for your undergrad and then 3 years of law school. And I believe she had been offered a very, very prestigious job.
In prestigious law firm.
Yes, in a big city. So it's one of those jobs where if you don't jump on it, you might not have the opportunity again, especially right out of school. So, but she's also running an exceptionally successful e-commerce business. That's already making seven figures.
Yep.
And so so we had a whole dinner. You weren't there, but we had a whole dinner conversation about this, and it was very lively. And I unfortunately never had the conversation directly with her. You did, but
I did for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. But the people that I was with had all talked with her extensively. And my impression was that she wasn't super thrilled about taking this job. And that's why she was having the dilemma. It wasn't necessarily about the money. It was that she was questioning even if she wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay. So the other wrinkle to this that it's worth adding.
Oh,
that,
I know what you're going to say.
Is that this girl is Asian.
Yeah.
And her parents are, it seemed kind of semi-traditional.
Yes.
And she'd already paid $200,000 for law school.
Which is like 1 month of her earnings in her e-commerce store.
Well, let's just say that if you spent $200,000 on something that you've been studying all year, it'd be like me paying for college, grad school, getting an awesome job like when I graduated, and then deciding just to throw all that all away.
Yes. So, okay, I'm curious about this. When I first heard about this, I heard about the story before I met her. When you first heard the story, what was your gut initially?
My gut was to take the job for a year at least.
Okay.
But there was like three other people in my group.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, who knows when e-commerce is going to still be this hot? You should just forget about the job. Being a lawyer sucks anyway. Apologize to anyone listening who's a lawyer. And you can always go back to law later.
So it was interesting because during the dinner, my opinion shifted multiple times as we debated the topic back and forth. So my very first gut reaction was, well, you've got to try being a lawyer. You can't spend all this time and money and just walk away without ever doing it. So that was my initial reaction.
Right. So we had the same reaction.
Yes. But then I started thinking about it because I guess I have a little bit of, not sympathy, but when I went to college, I went to college initially because I wanted to go to law school. And when I was in my end of my third year, maybe beginning of my fourth year of college, everyone in my classes was also wanting to go to law school. And I realized I hated all of them. I couldn't stand to be in, I couldn't stand to be in class with them. I couldn't stand, you know, I took some pre-law type classes. I didn't love those classes. And so by the middle of my fourth year of college, I contemplated switching majors because I was getting a degree in political science, which you can do absolutely nothing with as a bachelor's, right? You have to go on and get your master's or go intern on Capitol Hill, things like that, right? So it's not like a job where you're like, oh, I have a degree in accounting, I'm going to get out and become an accountant, right? Or I have a nursing degree, I'm going to get out and become a nurse. So my plan was always continue on with my schooling. But the further I got in my schooling, the more I realized that I did not want to be an attorney because all these people I was in school with did and I didn't like them. And I didn't really like where things were going. And so I think I was like one semester left of college and I started researching like what majors could I switch to that would need the least amount of like credit. Like how many, like I didn't want to go to school for like two more years, right? And when I started looking, there was like I could basically get a history degree, which is just as useless as a political science degree with a four-year degree. So I just decided I would graduate with a political science degree and figure something out. But so then I started thinking about my experience and I thought, if she's already questioning it now and she hasn't even gotten into this job where she's going to be working 80 hours a week, it's going to be very tough because she's a, you know, junior attorney at this big firm. She's not going to like it more once she gets there.
You don't know that. Well, I mean, it's all my friends who are lawyers don't like it, but that's beside the point.
I don't know a single lawyer who's happy. So, but like, think about this. If you're already questioning it before you even get started, to me, that's a big red flag.
Well, you should have figured that out $200,000 ago then.
Listen, it's not my money.
Okay, so here's the added pressure, and this is why I brought the Asian thing. Like, there's inherent pressure to go into law, become a doctor, an engineer, or something that's well-respected. So Asian parents tend to brag about their kids. And let's say, for example, I dropped engineering and I just went to sell hankies. You know, yeah, my son, he sells handkerchiefs.
Yeah, your parents use them to dry their tears of sadness because you sell hankies.
So here's what's a funny story that I don't think I've ever told. When my wife told her dad that she was selling handkerchiefs, he was like, "Oh, is everything okay? Do you need money? Like, you know, can we give you some money?" That was his first reaction.
Did he think you were on the streets with a suitcase and a folding table?
Well, let's just say that I think I might have gotten some shade for like even resorting to selling handkerchiefs for a living. I mean, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
Like to an Asian parent.
Yes, I agree with you. That is a complicating factor in her situation. Obviously, if she was a white kid, they would be like, we're just glad you're going to college, honey. You know, I know how this works. So my first thought was, if you're already unsure, you're going to be miserable. But then I had another thought because I found out that her seven-figure business is based in Amazon.
Right. It is 100% Amazon, if I recall.
Yes. So then the red flag started going off there for me because I personally don't love Amazon-only businesses as far as stability and security. Because at any moment, I mean, obviously at any moment, anything can happen to your business, right? I mean, we had our good friend Vince whose warehouse burned down, or he had his stuff he finally figured out a way to have his stuff partially manufactured in the U.S., had everything shipped to this factory in I don't even know where, and 2 months later, it burned down with all of his inventory in it.
I didn't know about that story.
Oh, yes. It happened last summer. So
the dog beds?
Yes, the dog beds. So he was having the beds sewn overseas, but then they were being stuffed with the material because he has like a special material. It's actually, we have a dog bed by him. It's super comfy. It was being stuffed in the United States. And so in this factory was doing like two or three other companies, you know, manufacturing. And so they literally had just gotten everything over there, had just got everything set up. They hadn't even run like the first production line yet. And the entire factory burned to the ground. Now, obviously, Vince is no dum-dum. They had insurance. But the problem is, it's 2021. You can't get materials. You can't get anything shipped. So it wasn't about, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to get reimbursed for the supplies, but you can't just go get the supplies again, right? Like, that's the biggest problem. So, you know, and it's not that every business is fireproof. It's not. But I feel like a Shopify, BigCommerce, owning your own website, having a brand is much more stable than an Amazon only.
Whoa, I'm sorry. The Amazon warehouse burned down? No, right?
No. I'm using that to say, like, anything can happen in your business, right? Nothing is a sure bet. But to me, Amazon is much rockier than someone who has an established brand, like our friend Eric from Beard Brand, right?
Sure, yeah.
That's a more stable business.
So I just failed to understand the correlation of the fire versus Amazon versus owning an online store.
Because I was saying, you know, like, Amazon businesses are so unstable. And then but to say that, like, all businesses, you have the potential to have something happen catastrophic.
So law jobs aren't that secure. Like, when there was the last downturn, mm-hmm. I think during the dot-com bubble, a whole bunch of my friends got laid off of law firms. I mean, it's pretty cutthroat, actually.
Yeah.
So my brother was a lawyer, and now he's a judge. But
Now he's never getting fired.
Now he's got the good life. He's a judge. But back when he was a lawyer, he actually didn't like the corporate lawyer lifestyle, which is, I believe, where she got a job. It was corporate law.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough decision. So who knows? She might even like it. I mean, there's some sadistic people out there that might like working 80 hours a week, going on the partner track. Actually, one of my closest friends, she is a corporate lawyer now. No, sorry. She's an in-house counsel. She still works like 80 to 100 hour weeks, but she loves it because it's challenging. She gets to travel. She gets to meet new people and that sort of thing. So, you know, she might like it. Who knows?
Yeah. And here's the thing with this person that we met. If you're able to go to law school and land a job at a prestigious firm in New York City and still build a seven-figure Amazon business on the side, you're clearly a very talented and capable person. So yes. I'm sure whatever she decides, she will be very, very successful because that's not something that's necessarily easy to do. So I think for her, you know, for her, no matter what she chooses, she's going to be a success. But when I heard that her business was solely on Amazon, then I went back to the, you should take the job for a little bit and try it out. I said 6 months. You're saying a year.
You can't just go for 6 months.
Well, I'm like, if right? after 6 months, you're absolutely miserable. Yes, I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but if you leave after 6 months, that's burning bridges forever, I think. You got to stay.
I mean,
stay
I think
for
if,
2 years, preferably. Actually.
Look at you. You're like, stay for 10. I mean, stay for 30. I mean, just stay for 40 and build your Amazon business on the side.
All right. So here's the thing. It's more of a pride thing. So if her Amazon business were to fail, it's not like she would starve. She just, her parents would support her. Like that's just the way Asian families work, right? Like if
you're killing me.
Why? If my handkerchief business fail, I just move back in with my mom. It's all good.
Yeah. I'd have to live in a van down by the river.
Or, yeah, here's the thing with that law job. Like, you turn it down. Let's say you wait, like, 2 years later. You're probably not going to get that law job back.
I do agree with you on that. I think this is her one. So that's the other complicating factor. Based on the type of job that it is, from my understanding, this is, like, her one chance to get in. And if she doesn't take that one chance, she can still be an attorney, but she's going to be working for Morgan and Morgan chasing ambulances, right?
I don't know if it's going to be that bad, but yeah.
But it's a completely different game.
Right, right, because they want fresh meat out of law school for these positions.
Yeah, so they can
right?
abuse them.
Yes, and you work your way up.
Yes.
Pretty much.
So then I went back because I was like, Amazon business, meh. And then, but I, at my core, in my heart of hearts, I think she should just focus on building her own business. I do.
All right. So the flip side of that is she's gotten this far.
Yes.
Doing it on the side.
Yes.
It's like a side piece for her.
Yeah.
Seven-figure side piece. So it clearly isn't that much work for her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she could actually get the best of both worlds by working and maintaining that business in the same time. And just, you know, have this little seven-figure side piece.
How do I get one of those? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you're working 80 hours a week, but I've never worked 80 hours per week, so I actually don't even know
you're
what
like,
it feels
you're
like.
You're like, I don't know how to have this conversation. I can talk knowledgeably about this. So anyway, no. I think at the core is she's already thinking she doesn't want to do this. She doesn't want to be a lawyer. And she's not even graduated yet.
Well, you were already thinking that you didn't want to get married, but you went through with it.
Okay, move on. Moving on.
I was apprehensive about my engineering job. I went through with it.
Were you?
I was because I remember I had that conversation with my dad. I was like, do I really have to work 40 hours a week? Is this really what life is like?
How did your dad feel about that one?
He said something like, you got to work your way up. And
yes.
I think at the time he was said, yeah, that's the way it is right now. Everyone works 40 hours at least.
But your dad, from what I know about your father, he was very old school.
Yes.
Very traditional.
That's correct.
And there are a lot of people out there that believe you work 9 to 5, you put in your time, you work your way up. I mean, I think you once told me that your dad didn't want to ask for a raise. He felt like, or not, he didn't want to ask for a raise, but he felt that if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. You don't ask for raises or something to that extent.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. He's old school, but you know, on the flip side, it is, well, I don't know. It's probably what her parents were like, is basically what I'm saying.
I'm sure they are. And that's the thing. I feel like as a culture, we need to start shifting our mindset on this. And I'm sure for people that are of an older generation, it's more difficult. But I don't think you can be any less proud of your child for graduating from law school than building a business from absolute scratch. Both are very difficult. Both require a unique skill set. Most people talk about building businesses and never do. So she's already in, you know, a top percentage of people. Because how many people have you and I met or have you and I talked to that talk about wanting to start something but never get it off the ground? So the fact that she's even gotten something off the ground is a huge achievement. And the fact that now it's very successful is another level of achievement.
All right, I just want to say that there's no wrong decision for her to make. The Amazon business, I'm a little down on Amazon.
Me too.
Right now, just because, you know, all those aggregators that were popular are kind of hurting right now. And then just Amazon's earnings, everything, you know, it's all pointing south, and Amazon's changing their policies. There was an article that just came out saying that Amazon has all this warehouse space that they're trying to get rid of now.
Yeah.
And it's only getting harder as more and more people are on that platform, and it's hard to create a brand. So, I mean, what's the foundation there? I guess where is she? It just depends how she's going to spend her time on this business.
Right. But I do think that once you can leverage Amazon, or you learn how to leverage Amazon, you can then create a brand on off of Amazon.
Sure.
And it sounds like she's definitely capable of that. Which this leads to like a bigger question. Because I agree with you. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. And I think whatever she does is going to be the right choice for her. Although I do think I think there's a trap in taking the job. Because you get in it, there's all this like emotion tied to it, right? You spend all this time, you spend all this money, you have expectations.
What do you know about emotions, Tony?
None. I have none. But this is what I've read in books.
Hypothetically speaking, you're saying.
If hypothetically I had emotions, there's so much tied to this, right? And then there's tied to, you know, once you get the job and you're in there and you're getting the paycheck and there's no fluctuation, right? Because I don't know how lawyers get paid, but I'm assuming they get the same amount of money every week or every 2 weeks. I mean, I know there's bonus structures, but it's like a regular thing. Whereas with Amazon, you know, you get suspended for a week. Well, you don't have a paycheck, right? And then you make it up the next time, however that is. So there's a lot of emotion and psychological issues tied to taking the job and then feeling like, I don't know if I can let this go. Because how many people do we know who stay in miserable jobs because they can't leave because they're afraid to take the jump, even when they've built up something on the side? It's like they keep setting these goals like, well, I'm going to leave when this happens. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people. I know I'm going to leave when this happens. Because I think you stayed because for several reasons. But one, you really liked working there.
I did. Plus, I was only working one day a week at the end.
Yeah. So that's I mean, but we know people who stay in jobs because there's this psychological attachment to feeling like the job is more secure than the business.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think that's all about to change because we're going into recession right now. Not to be depressing in this episode, but there's already firms actually talking about layoffs. There's already firms, tech firms where I live, that are already announced layoffs.
Yeah.
So right now, especially, having a job actually isn't that secure, in my opinion, right now.
Yes, I would agree with you, but I don't think people think of it that way. I think people think of a job as secure and a business as unstable.
Yeah. I mean, a law firm is essentially a business also, right?
If they're not getting clients. Well, it's somebody's business, right? It's not, but it's not your business. So you don't view it as your business. You view it as a job.
Right. If the law firm's not getting clients, they're going to let go of their lawyers. This is exactly what happened during the dot-com boom.
Right. So think about you with Bumblebee Linens. I mean, Bumblebee Linens is your business, but it's a job for the people that work there, ship your packages, do the embroidery. So they don't think about Bumblebee like you do. And when you're making decisions about Bumblebee, you're factoring in their well-being in your decision-making process, where when they make a decision, they're not thinking about anybody but themselves. So there's just a huge difference in how people view those two things.
Yes. What's your point? Sorry.
My point is that I think there's people have a false sense of security in a job because they don't own it.
Yes, I would agree with that. I've been through three downturns. Mm-hmm. While working. Three downturns while working. And I remember during those times when they were announcing layoffs, it was really nerve-wracking.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I had confidence that I could get another job easily, and I suspect this person can too. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, you know, I didn't want to do that.
Right. But let's compare that to you working at Bumblebee, owning Bumblebee through COVID, which was a downturn for many people's businesses. you had a distinct advantage in that you're the business owner, so you were able to pivot exceptionally quickly, come up with a new plan, and it was all on you to do that. So you had the ability to change it. Now, of course, it didn't work for everybody, and some people did get hit significantly, but a lot of people, you, our friend Amanda, lots of people pivoted in their business and were able to not only come out of the, you know, COVID fiasco at the same point, but some of people even grew their business. I mean, Amanda grew her business. Natalie grew her business during COVID. There's a lot of people that we know that took advantage of a very negative situation and found avenues to grow their business in spite of what was going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I think at the root of the issue, the decision is not necessarily about the money.
No.
Right? Because I think this person is going to be wealthy either way. You make pretty good money as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll probably make more.
Except for you live in New York City and you have to pay.
Oh, is this person live in New York?
Yes, and you have to pay $5,000 a month for an apartment the size of your office. So.
Okay, so she's like middle class then.
Yeah, she's middle class in New York.
She'll be middle class in New York.
Yeah.
And she'll make more money with her business, but I guess which one's more fulfilling? I mean, I'm just thinking, like, if you stripped out the Bumblebee side of my business and it was just Amazon, I wouldn't find that as fulfilling.
I agree.
Personally, because you're not really doing as much marketing. Sure, you're managing PPC and like product descriptions, and it's mainly a product sourcing game.
Yeah.
I feel like with Amazon, more so than like a marketing play.
Yeah. I feel like with Amazon, it's a little bit like whack-a-mole, right? You're just constantly, you know, the game Whack-A-Mole from like the arcade.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to think which moles we're whacking here with the Amazon stuff.
Well, it's just like with Amazon, you're constantly like, it's like, boom, now I'm working on this. Now I'm working on that. Now I got to figure this out. Now it's like this constant game of like, oh, I've got to fix PPC. Oh, I've got a hijacked listing. Oh, I've got Amazon's not taking shipments right now. Oh, I've got a problem getting a container over. Right. There's like multiple different, there's always like a fire you have to put out at Amazon. It feels like I meet very few people who are at that like low seven figure range on Amazon that don't feel like they're constantly doing that. There's a constant game to solve the next problem, figure out the next thing.
Our buddy Mike Jackness once told me that like he doesn't deal with any of the Amazon issues anymore because he'd be afraid to check his phone in the morning.
Yes, I think that's a Amazon PTSD. There should be a support group for people.
Because there was always some suspension or some issue that was going on or some hijacker or someone who left negative reviews or whatnot. So in that way, it's kind of stressful. If her plan is just to continue running the Amazon side of her business, I think I would definitely give Law a try. Like Law is actually pretty interesting. So I actually just went to a Warriors game with my brother.
Okay.
And I was just like, hey, so what's been going on with your work? He's like, oh yeah, I had this crazy case, you know, where this this son was suing the parents and the parents were suing the stepdaughter or something like that. It was some crazy story. It was some crazy story of like family members suing each other. I was like, that's pretty interesting.
He's like a Judge Judy.
Yeah, you know, he does get cases like that. He definitely does. I mean, those are the ones he tells me about, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was like, that could be pretty fun. It's like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial every single day.
Oh, so it is funny because like my kids are following it. They're fascinated by it. I haven't had the opportunity to follow or enough time to follow it. But I agree with you. I do. That's the reason why I wanted to become an attorney. I do find law interesting. I just did not. I honestly did not like the people I was going to school with. And I couldn't imagine working with them every day for the next 40 years.
Yeah, but you weren't working with those people, though, right?
But I'm like, if everybody has this personality, no thanks.
I mean, I think you're generalizing here. Like, you're saying
that all of course I was, but at that moment, I knew, like, I don't want to spend the rest of my, you know, working life with people like this. I'd rather spend my working life with, and it's funny because one of my closest friends is as a lead counsel for a university, right? So,
right.
I mean, obviously, I don't dislike attorneys. And we, you know, Steven Weigler, our good friend, you know, he's like, I adore him, right? So, like, obviously, I don't dislike all attorneys. But in that moment, like during that time period, I was like, I can't see myself doing this. I don't want to do it. I'd rather do something else. If I were her, I would, being in this Amazon business, I would probably take the job. But I would set a hard boundary for myself, because I think you can get sucked into that. Well, oh, but the pay is really good, or the benefits are really good, or, you know, if I, they're promising me this, they're promising me that, whatever it is, I would set a very hard boundary. Like, if in 1 year I'm not happier, then I'm out. Right?
How does one set a hard boundary? Like,
because I think you can, by saying, like, in 1 year, you, like, tell three of your best friends, like, hey, in 1 year, I want you to have a really hard conversation with me and ask me really how happy I am and fulfilled, and use that. What do you, there's like a happiness chart that you either stole or developed, right?
I developed that. Yeah. But it's got nothing to do. I mean, like, it's, you can't really create a boundary for yourself. Like, a year passes, you can say, I'm just going to put it off the decision for another 3 months. Or,
well, boundaries are maybe the wrong, a deadline.
Deadline.
A hard deadline. Sure. Where you don't allow yourself to just kind of ride the wave. Because I know a lot of people that stay unhappy for a really long time in whatever situation it is. And it's because they just... It's either easier to be comfortable in your uncomfortable than to be uncomfortable in the new.
So here's what I would do.
Okay.
At my job, I think I mentioned to you this before, like, once my businesses started to make a lot more than my day job, I started getting cocky. Right? Yeah. And I didn't care anymore. So I just started speaking my mind at work, and it actually led to promotions, ironically. Well, I would pursue this law job the same way. Like, hey, I don't need this job. I'm going to try my best, but I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want and, you know, speak my mind and try to just enjoy it. Enjoy my time there, right? I wish one of us actually was a law student or someone who actually had a job, because I can only hear stories. Like, I've got a lot of lawyer friends. And I remember them saying, like, the first 2 years of working at a corporate law firm just kind of sucks. You're kind of like the grunt on the totem pole. Like, all the grunt work goes to you, and you get to read some interesting case files, but you're not really the one doing the interesting work at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer, obviously.
I think that's pretty accurate.
And then it's only later, once you've kind of paid your dues, does it get, it still gets more stressful, but at least it gets more interesting.
Listen, I watched a lot of Ally McBeal. I feel like I'm... okay, this kind of leads into a bigger question, though. And this is, you know, and I know what you think about this. But should you even go to college to begin with? If you want to be an entrepreneur. Not if you're just going to sit in your parents' basement for a year and play video games.
Okay, so I don't regret going to school at all, and I would go 100 million times again if you were to ask me. Just the people that I met at school, I mean, I can't think of a single person that's not successful or killing it.
Well, let's be clear, you went to an Ivy League school too.
Stanford's not Ivy League.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Really?
It's Pac-12. Ivy League is an East Coast thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it not a good school?
It is, but it's not Ivy League.
Okay, well, sorry. I thought way too highly of you before.
There you go.
Until now.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you've just dropped. So you might as well have gone to Oregon State.
So just those connections alone are worth it. So
yeah.
And you went to college. I mean, you don't feel the same way?
I like how you say that with like a, and you went to college?
Ouch. You don't feel the same way?
So here's what I think. And I think some people go to college and they know exactly what they want to be. They go to college. It's like, I don't think college is bad, but I see far too many people going to college and not knowing what they want to do or start college and drop out because they have a business idea and they're able to like start it during college, but they still have, you know, $100,000 in student debt or, you know, whatever. There's all sorts of things that go on. I think it's not a bad idea if you are not, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an accountant, I want to be a nurse, something that you're pretty sure about. Like, take a year off between high school and college and try to build a business while you don't have any risk. Because you and I both know it's way more risky to try to build a business when you're 35 and you have two kids and a mortgage and two car payments and all this responsibility, and you're thinking, my kid's 10 years old right now, they're going to go to college in 8 years and their college fund is the quarter funded, whatever it is, right? Or I'm paying for travel, soccer, or all these things. When you're 18, you don't, what are your expenses? Probably a souped up car payment that you probably shouldn't be driving anyway. You know, Taco Bell, DoorDash three times a week. You don't have a lot of expenses, and so that's the time to take a risk and try to build something while you have like basically endless time and no responsibilities.
Interesting. I just had
like,
a different.
That is the worst idea ever. I would disown my children.
No, I would go to school just for the social aspects alone. Like, I really grew up doing those 4 years. Also,
yeah.
And why rush the whole money making process? Why not enjoy yourself for another 4 years?
Because you can enjoy yourself more with a lot of money.
You know, okay.
Those people on the yachts that I see on Instagram look like they're having a good time.
Give me a dollar amount to not go to Stanford. Like, if you gave me like $2 million to not go to school, I still would have gone to school.
If you would have given me $2 million, I would have been like, thank you very much. I will not go to school. I will now turn that into $200 million with all of my free time.
Really? Okay. I guess we're just different that way.
We are different. And I didn't go to school traditionally. I went to school over like a period of time because I was married when I finished college and things like that. But so I didn't have the same social aspect of college that you did and a lot of other people do. And I do think college is good for that. But I also think at the money people are paying for college right now, you don't go to college to have a social interaction. It's too expensive.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I went to school at a different time.
Hit the club. Okay. Yeah. Hit the club on Friday nights. Go when it's free cover and two for ones, and you can have all the social interaction.
Okay.
You want.
So this question is actually kind of not fair because college now is a lot different than it was like when we went. My 25th reunion is coming up this year.
Nice.
So it's been 25 years, right?
And your walkers and your canes.
Yeah, and we're going. But 25 years ago was a lot different. College was a lot cheaper.
Yes. It's funny because I think about how much, and I don't think I had any student debt when I graduated from college. I worked through most of it, you know. But I look at what some people I know now have in college debt, and if someone told me you're going to get out of college and you're going to have $200,000 in debt and you're going to start at a $60,000 a year job, I would have been like, no, thanks.
Yeah. And I think this is where cultural differences matter too. Like all my friends' parents who are Asian, they had their college paid for by their parents. It's just something that I think it's culturally ingrained for the most part.
Yeah. But not everybody can do that. Like that's not the reality.
That's correct. Yeah. You're right.
Especially not today.
Yeah, especially not today. Back then, there was always options, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Maryland, it was a college I almost went to, they offered to pay me to go.
Yeah.
Right? Like a stipend or something like that. So there's definitely options.
And my brother-in-law, when he went back to get his MBA, I mean, he applied to, I think, 4 or 5 schools, got into a couple prestigious schools, but decided to go to the school that literally paid him to go. Still, he went to Penn State. It's a great school. He didn't go to a slouchy school, but like when he weighed the pros and cons, and he already had, like, he knew he was going to be able to get a job. He already had an engineering degree. You know, he was like, is it going to matter if I go to one school or the other? If one school is going to cost me $200,000 and the other school is going to pay me every month to go here? Probably not, right? So you have to weigh those. And he, you know, he made the right decision. He got out of college, had no debt, you know, got a great job, you know, and is doing very well for himself.
So I think we've strayed from the original question. I didn't get a straight answer out of you though.
I said I would take the job, but I would set 1 year. I would say 6 months, but I'll go with 1 year for you.
Six months.
If I'm not happier in 1 year, I'm not doing it.
You want to know what I did at the first 6 months of my job?
Absolutely nothing. Watch HR videos.
Because you got to learn all this stuff, and you're not even productive until after at least a year, year and a half.
Because here's the thing. You don't know how long you have here. And so I don't want to waste, like, I'm old now, so I can say these things. I don't want to waste any more time doing stuff I don't like to do. And I think most people know within a very short period of time whether they're going to like something or not. Because you're going to meet, even though you're like in the trough, like you meet other people at that company that aren't, and you're like, do I want their life? Can I see myself doing that? Like, I think you know pretty quickly.
Sure. I guess. I mean, okay, let me ask you a question that's completely random. Are you the type of person, if you see a Netflix series, let's say it's 13 episodes, do you stop watching if you don't like episode one, or do you watch like 4 or 5 episodes first?
I'm a stopper at episode one.
Okay. Watch at least 4 or 5 episodes.
Unless I say to somebody who's... So usually someone recommends a series to me. And people who know me now say to me, you have to get to the middle of episode 2. Right? So if someone says to me, you have to get to the middle of episode 2... Because, so this is a good example. I got hooked on Peaky Blinders last fall.
Right.
And someone told me, you have to make it through the first episode. Because I didn't, and I watched the first episode and I'm like, no way. Like, they have strong accents. I can barely understand them. They talk quite, like, it's very quiet talking, which is just because I don't hear well. Like, it's hard for me to hear anyway. And someone said, make it to the middle of episode. And literally, it was like, there was a point in episode 2 where I was like, I am hooked. I want to watch 87 of these episodes all in a row. But had I watched the first episode and someone had not told me that, I probably wouldn't have watched any more of it.
Right. So pretend episode 1 is like your first 6 months or a year of your law.
Yes.
I'll admit, like, I didn't actually enjoy engineering until probably a year had passed of my first job because I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Like, I was relegated to doing junk work. And then I got my first real project my second year where I was in charge of everything. And then it became really fun.
Yes. And I would agree with that. But I think you also are at a company where you can see other people who are further along than you and can say, oh, yeah, I want to be where they are. If you're looking at the people that are further along with you and going, I don't want that life either, I think you know.
Sure, I guess. I think it'd be tough. Like, I wasn't really even paying attention to those things. I was just.
But she's going into this with that. I'm saying you got to go into it with that critical.
With that attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious. So the people that I talked to that were completely for just not even going to school, like our friend Dana, for example, she was like, "Oh yeah, forget about it." So do you agree that the opportunity cost, like the fact that you spent $200K already, doesn't matter in this equation?
It's hard because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. It's a lot of time too. It's 3 years plus 200K.
Yes, 7 years of your life and 200. Let's just say
$200,000. Well, it's really just 3 years, right?
But I mean, she could have started the Amazon business at 18. I mean, she didn't. But
I mean, the undergrad is a given in Asian cultures. So
yeah, sorry that she was born with an undergrad degree.
Yes.
I forgot.
Yeah,
you do that. You do that in the eighth grade. Yeah, because here's the thing. It's those little factors like the opportunity cost and the time that keep you in something that you hate. Because you're thinking to yourself, well, you know what? Once I pay off my loss, because this is what happens. Once I pay off my student loans, I'll quit. Well, once I feel like I've made up for the fact that I spent 3 years in law school, I'll quit. And the next thing you know, you're 20 years down the road in a job that you've always hated and you don't know what you missed out on. And there might have been something a lot better.
Sure. I think we all have our own unique experiences and baggage regarding this, right?
Yeah.
I think personally, I don't think I've ever stayed in something too long.
But you and I both know people who have.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
I mean, I'm still working with you.
I was going to say the same thing, but you beat me to it.
I know. I had to get it in.
Yeah. So for this person, I would give it at least a year. Possibly 2, keep the Amazon business running. Who knows what's going to happen there? And maybe hire it out, right? If you want to grow, hire it out and just manage that person. You can probably do that in like 5 hours a week, maybe, hopefully, 5 or 10 hours a week to just manage someone to do certain things and then just see where it goes. I personally would be a little hesitant unless I had my own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the website stuff and the DTC stuff is infinitely more interesting than the Amazon aspects of running a business also. So that's what... Is this person starting this year? I can't remember.
Yeah, she's graduating like right now.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So there's not much time left. I was going to say like devote a year into trying to build up the website and the DTC stuff and then make a decision. But she's not going to be able to do that obviously while working 80 to 100 hour weeks.
Right. Here's my advice to her. I would say, one, I'm positive that whatever she does, she's going to be exceptionally successful. So already, like, good for her, right? Good job good job getting through law school and building a business and getting accepted into a very prestigious company. So I have no doubt that whatever she chooses and whatever path she goes on, she's going to be awesome. But I would just guard against getting sucked into the machine and not doing what really fulfills you and makes you happy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.